Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. My name is Neil Schaefer. I'm here with my co-host, Amanda Russell. And what's really cool about this podcast is that, you know, Amanda, as well as myself, we both bring guests to our audience. And today's guest is someone that, frankly, you know, Amanda introduced to me and I'm still learning about. So I'm excited, as excited for this recording as you are. I do know, and I'm going to let Amanda do the introduction, but I do know that our guest today, Jen Gruver, is the author of The More Method, because I see that in the background behind her. But Amanda, please introduce everybody to our guest today.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have my good friend, Jen Gruver, who has her resume is like a novel, but I'm going to just give some highlights. She's been tagged by Success Magazine, which is one of my favorite lines, a one-woman brand, a creativity and innovation guru, a leading serial entrepreneur by Entrepreneur Magazine. She's been ranked number 8 by SAP in the top 51 influencers of human potential. Jen Gruver's name has been synonymous with innovation, entrepreneurship, and transformation. And she was recently nominated as Motivational Speaker of the Year from SpeakerCon. She's a UN delegate to the first ever global accelerator of the Global Entrepreneurs Council. She's also an entrepreneur, an inventor, actually, a speaker, multi-time author, and just an all-around awesome human being that never stops creating and building. So I'm really excited to welcome you to the School of Influence.
I'm so happy to be here. I love that introduction, but the multi-time everything, because I call my ADD.
I actually wondered, I was like, you know, you're one of the hard, like we've had a lot of people that wear many different hats, but you wear about as like probably maybe among the most. And I was like, I wonder how I'm going to introduce her. This might be one where I just need to read her bio again.
Well, I just say I keep creating to harness my ADD in a productive way that allows me to keep moving forward. And then I just align with other people who are good at what I'm not good at to keep scaling.
That's kind of actually a great segue into like how we define influencer marketing is like partnering with people or, you know, organizations or whatever it is you need to scale. So just before we jump in, if you could tell us a little bit about sort of your journey and from, you know, entrepreneurship and the various different, some of the big highlights of your career that you really learned the most from and were able, and what you believe was gave you the ability to be able to venture into different industries to scale. Most people have trouble doing that in one, let alone kind of crossing categories.
Yeah. So I had a really crazy childhood. And I think my crazy childhood led me to be a resilient, adaptable person who's constantly pivoting I was just constantly surviving at that point. But when I went to college, I studied psychology. I understood that the study of human behavior and the mastery of human behavior is what gives you mastery of all other things. So human behavior became my obsession and it's fundamental in everything that I do. But when I was in college, I started my first business without realizing I was starting my first business in the fitness world. I went home during a break and I did a step aerobics class. Yes, I just aged myself and I fell madly in love and I wanted to keep doing it. So I took it back to my school with me. I went to my school administrators. I asked for 100 steps, a space, and a boombox. Again, just aged myself. And then started charging people $3 a class. And it became a business without even realizing it. So when I graduated college, I entered the fitness industry, became a master trainer, a national level fitness competitor. And that lifestyle, I believe, really set me up for diversity and success. Because as you know, Amanda, you're at some of these big, huge conferences with some of the greatest thought leaders who are all about mindset mastery. And I was just exposed to all of them at such a young age. And Bob Proctor became a mentor of mine at that point too, taught me the universal laws that people talk about now. But 20 years ago, people were like, what is this crazy stuff? And so I learned how to deprogram my limited beliefs and fears from my childhood and intentionally program the future self. So everything that I have done and created, I've intentionally manifested. I envisioned it before it even happened, including my PBS special that came out of nowhere for me. But throughout my career, I kind of look at it as just building blocks. And every stage is an evolution to the next stage. And I never wanted to be coined with one name or one title, as you could see. But one of the other really big impactful things that happened early on in my career is I became a spokesperson for a lot of brands on QVC. That was also another fundamental time period where I was learning at a high level. I say QVC was my master's in business. I learned how to sell. At that point, it was $5,000 a minute. Now it's a lot more. And I learned how to create products and watched people bring these ideas to life. And from there, I always just had this mindset, like, why not me? If somebody's going to do it, why not me? And that's really where it began for me. Like those fundamental things were springboards to my future.
That's actually how I learned about you when I was first living in New York. One of my girlfriend of mine read your first book and I loved it. And that's actually how I first came across you. And at the time, I think you had just built the Butler bag. That was sort of an innovation in purses. And I loved the story behind it. And it became a very successful brand. And so I guess the question is, like, personally or professionally, in order to build a brand or sell a book or to be successful at it, even when you talk about your fitness story, which I actually didn't know, which is ironic given my background. Yeah. Right. Until
come on, Amanda.
Until I did your research, I was like, really? No, that isn't that ironic? But for whatever reason, that's always stuck out about you to me is you attract, like you're like a magnet to people and to be able to influence a community, like 18,000 people can put something out there and it sticks for like how many? And you have this community that is just so engaged and loyal and like whatever you do, they jump. And I've seen very few. Our friend Jesse Itzler has a sort of a similar in a different demographic, but you're the first that I ever saw that was like that level. Do you think, is it nurture? Is it nature? Like what are some, I think people listen to this are like, how do I do that?
Yeah. So I think it's a little bit of both, right? That nature and nurture, but it's very intentional for me. So this is going to sound more of a less tangible type of piece of advice for people, but I think it's the most important piece of advice. And I was just talking about how I intentionally created my future self. So being magnetic like that, that's what really creates influence, right? Being magnetic and having people drawn to you and wanting a piece of whatever that is that you have. And I always would tell people when I teach about branding or emotional intelligence, when you have this energy, it's not like your prettiest person in the room or the best looking guy in the room or the best outfit. It's just this energy that exudes that people want a piece of. And so every single day of my life, I literally envision being at my highest frequency self. I envision this energy just exuding from me like a magnet so that I can put that energy out to the world and people can actually feel it. And it really does work as a magnet and a magnifier. And then another big part of that from a technical standpoint was I did a lot of television training back in the day. And then as a speaker, I'm on stage all the time. So I'm constantly exercising the muscle of confidence. But beyond the muscle of confidence, I always exercise the muscle of engagement. I want to connect with people. I don't want to just talk at people, but I want to connect with them. I want to hear them. I want to hear their feedback. I want them to feel me, even virtually. It's a lot different than obviously being on stage and in big rooms like I normally would be. But I still feel like when your intention is to put that energy out there to connect. So there's a big difference between I want to influence for the ego sake of my influence versus, and I'd say Jesse is a great example of this, versus I'm just going to show up as my best self and give everything I got. And I hope that it resonates with somebody. And that's how you really make that impact, is being authentic and not trying to manipulate the situation, but add value to a situation.
That's actually a really interesting way of saying it, and a very much easier way of saying it. I was trying to explain this week in the difference between like persuasion and influence, and how influence is like a pull versus a push. Persuasion is like pushing, convincing, but influence is a pull, and you can't force that. So I guess the question is, can you acquire it? And what you did a really good job of explaining, like, you're right. If you are kind of manifesting an energy about you, it comes across. And that vague term of authenticity, like who can define it? No one can define it. But in 7 seconds, like, do you know when some, can you feel it? Everybody can feel it, right? If you want to be there or not. So I really like that.
I feel like it's in my heart, not in my head. That's how I explain authenticity for me, is knowing that I'm leading with my heart and not with my head. And when you lead with your heart, people feel that. When you're in your head, you become an editor. You start to try to say things to please other people versus being authentic to what you really want to say. So to me, when I'm even going on stage, I meditate before I go on stage, and I literally envision downloading from a consciousness greater than myself. So before I go on stage, I just say, it's like a little prayer or meditation of, please use me as a vessel to impact who I need to impact. And I literally visualize consciousness downloading through me. And then once I get on stage, I have no idea what I'm saying because I'm in the zone and it's just pouring through me. And afterwards, I have to watch my videos back and be like, what did I say? I have no idea what I said, but apparently it made an impact. So the persuasion is that push, right? It's forceful. And going back to energy, I'm obsessed with quantum physics. So this is why I always bring it back to energy, is I like to be in the place of flow versus force. And the ego is forcing things to happen, where flow is allowing things to happen as they should, when they should. And it's such a more harmonious way for me to live. I used to be in force all the time. My alpha masculine energy leading the way. And I realized it's exhausting. It didn't feel so good. And it was depleting more than enjoyable. So once I realized I would rather be in flow, I can feel my energy in flow versus force now.
Yeah. For someone that's, you know, first time hearing you speak, Jen, I'm sort of in awe. And you've said so many just amazing things. I'm curious because I listen to a lot of podcasts and I've heard of a lot of successful entrepreneurs that are extremely influential like yourself, and the role of meditation. So you've said a few things, and part of the podcast is we try to sort of reverse engineer how people are able. And so you mentioned a few things, and the meditation is one that I've heard a lot of other really successful entrepreneurs like yourself mention. So how did you come about doing that, and how do you think it has been a help to you?
So I was so resistant, but so inspired by meditation for so long. And I would watch people just sitting there in their place or state of meditation. I'd be like, are they really not thinking anything? Like, what is happening right now? So I wanted that, but then I always felt like I was too busy for it. And because I'm such an action-oriented person and I like productivity, I convinced myself of a theory of meditation. When we wake up in the morning, our brain is clean and organized. We're well rested. So it's like a clean, organized closet. Everything is aligned and has its place. And we can find the files that we need quickly from our brain, just like we could find the clothes quickly. But by about 3 or 4 o'clock, after so much information is coming at us from so many different ways, our brain gets like a clutter closet that looks like when somebody went in and tried on 50 million different outfits and then just didn't clean it up afterwards. And so for me, my biggest meditation practice is in the afternoon. That time period where a lot of people start to feel that lull or tiredness. And I use what's called binaural beats. Basically, it's a hack, like a brain hack, to get your brain into the state of meditation, into the frequency of meditation, without me sitting there in complete and utter silence. But it brings the silence to my brain. And I listen to that, and it changes the frequency of your brain, just like meditation is meant to. And I feel rejuvenated. But when I'm using it in practice, like I said, going on stage, it's more of a blend of a meditation prayer, where I recognize that I'm a vessel in what I do, and I don't want my ego there when I'm being used as a vessel. And so that meditation prayer is really about quieting my mind and saying, use me as that vessel so that I can say what I need to say for whoever is meant to be in this audience today. And it's funny because every time I speak, people will say, I feel like you were speaking directly to me. And I really believe that I was, for whatever reason that was meant to be, that they were there that day. So, you know, meditation, I believe, has a place of optimization of your brain, but also a reminder of, I am just a vessel of consciousness. And the higher my consciousness is, the more I can serve.
That's amazingly beautiful. And I think part of this is this theme, and you brought it up at the very beginning, that everything you did in your life, in your career, was by design. It was by intention. And I suppose this, the decision to do this type of meditation is also by intention, that you're, you know, we talk about being masters of our own domain. It sounds like you're truly in control of so many things that for many of us, it's out of control.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned Bob Proctor, and you mentioned at an early age, you were exposed to so many thought leaders. Was there any, you know, books or particular people that really influenced you, that helped you really create all this by design?
Yes. So before I answer that direct question, when you create with intention, you have to create with belief as well. And there's this quote, the evidence doesn't support the belief. The evidence was created by your belief. So I want everyone to think about that for just a second, right? The evidence doesn't support your belief. The evidence was created by your belief. So in the universal laws, in which I firmly believe in, I could set an intention, but if I didn't believe that I was worthy or capable of what it was that I was desiring, I would not be able to achieve it. And so it's really about intention matched with belief. And beliefs are something I'm so fascinated by. I love peeling back the beliefs that people have and where they come from and how to reprogram them and change them so that they do align with what their desires are. And that's a big part of what the Moore Method is about. But Bob Proctor was probably one of the most critical influences in my life. I was in my 20s and I'm learning all of these universal laws, which was very different than anything I was learning in school or in my community at that point. Another big influence that I know impacted my life, but I didn't realize it till later in life. My mom had a TV show when I was little, and it was a current affairs show, but she also would have professional athletes on all the time. So every day after school, I'd be sitting in the studio, and I really believe the subconscious seeding was happening then. And my mom's conversations with these athletes were about what makes someone great. I mean, that was really the fundamental conversation. There's a lot of good athletes, but what makes somebody great? So it was like Tug McGraw and Steve Carlton and Ron Jaworski and, you know, all of these legends talking about their mindsets that created greatness. And as I look back later in life on how that experience probably shaped me, I was never okay with mediocre. Mediocre just seemed boring to me, just seemed not good for me. So I always wanted to create great. And I believe that that experience of my life was really critical as well. And as I go through life, I do believe that every person I encounter can inspire me in some way, shape, or form. So I'm always looking for the lesson or the inspiration in every experience.
Yeah, I just want to say, as an avid baseball card collector growing up, I was waiting for Mike Schmidt to make his appearance there. But
Mike was on the show. Mike was my neighbor too. Yep. And
oh, wow.
Tug's kids I hung out and played with. And
amazing.
Yeah.
And Steve Carlton, the ace, you know. Wow. Okay. Bringing back the memories. No. Amanda, you were going to say something.
What I like about this talk, because obviously the term influential, I've had success in several different fields and in business and books and speaking and all these different things. But what you've been able to do, articulate very few can do, for me anyways, is kind of articulate, like, if influence is what we're all really seeking, right? Because we all want our messages validated. We all want to be heard. We all want our ideas to stick, is articulating this idea of like, yeah, there is nurture versus nature, but here are some things that need to happen. And it's not like, oh, you need to post every single day. I mean, there are actionable steps. And I guess that would be the next question then is, okay, so given the environment that we're in as an entrepreneur or a CMO or a marketer sitting here, how do you then transform that into like a strategy to grow your community, your brand?
Yeah. So I believe very much in video. I believe video can convey the energy that I speak of more than just a post. So for example, right now I'm doing what's called the Best You Challenge. And every day I challenge people to focus on something that will create change for them in their lives, like, you know, a complaint-free day, or, you know, trying meditation, or letting go of the ego, or auditing your network. And is your network supporting what your desires are? Are they depleting from it and bringing you down? So every day there's something, and my hope is that they don't just do it that one day, that they use all of these different challenges as a cumulative strategy to change their lives. But why it's so good for me to do something like that is it's bringing together and demonstrating my depth and breadth of knowledge of human behavior and transformation, but engaging an audience because they're doing this competition with me. I feel like things like that are really important to demonstrate who you are, but how can you also engage with your audience so they're not just talking at them, but encouraging and inspiring them and feeling like they can communicate back. So one of the biggest things is, it could be tedious. I always, always respond to every person's comment, always acknowledge it. Because to me, that makes people feel like they want to keep talking and want to keep engaging. Instead of, I get upset when I see influencers not responding. And it's like, wait, these people just took their time to engage with you and you're just ignoring them like the cool kid in school that's like blowing off people. And I feel like that really creates that tribe, like you said, Amanda, where they really do become a loyalist because you've now engaged them and they feel like they're connected to you in an authentic way.
Yeah, I love that. You really do respond. It's amazing. It's amazing the time.
I do. I sometimes I'm like, oh boy, this is going to take a while, but it's totally worth it.
So if you could give one to two pieces of advice to like the entrepreneurs or the marketers or the people shifting careers or just trying to grow in their career, what would it be?
Have more fear of regret than you have a failure.
I like that.
Our fear of failure, our fear of trying something new is so debilitating. And if we could recognize the journey of not perfection, but evolution, I believe that entrepreneurship is a journey of self-transformation. I believe when you're an entrepreneur and you want to excel and maximize your potential, you show up every day wanting to be better than you were the day before and wanting to call yourself out on your stuff. Because the only way to get past your stuff that holds you back is to be honest about it and then figure out how to change it. So when we approach this journey of success and influence and impact, if we see it as that journey, and we see it as that opportunity to continuously grow and evolve, then we will make such a greater impact in doing everything that we do. But if we allow fear to run the show, then we get to a point in our life where we look back and be like, man, I should have done that then. I would have done that then. I could have done that then. And to me, trying something, and even if you fail at it to some degree, is worse than not trying it and living with regret.
Yeah, this is, Amanda, I think you'll agree. And we've had a lot of inspirational people on this podcast, but this is definitely going to be one of our most inspirational episodes because, Jen, you've brought together so many elements of what a lot of people talk about, you know, mindset, you know, intention, you know, community being the magnet, the positive energy, authentic, and it all flows together in this very, very natural package. And I wish people, and maybe we will have to create a video out of this, as you mentioned, video being so important. I'm curious because I see behind you, you know, the More Method, and it sounds like you are already, and you have an even bigger potential to influence a new generation of people like Bob Proctor influenced you. So I'm curious, can you tell us a little bit more about the More Method? Is it everything we talked about here, or please, you know, describe it to everybody?
Yeah. So The Moore method is a culmination of my 20 plus years of teaching human behavior, bringing together multiple disciplines, including psychology, physiology, nutrition, quantum physics, metaphysics, Buddhism, and more. And I wanted to take all of those topics that have lots of layers of, and there's a lot of depth to them. What the Moore method is a framework, a simplified framework of bringing all of the best practices of those different areas of discipline to teach people how to get from where they are to where they want to go. So the book's really designed for anyone at any stage of life to get from where they are to the next level of where they want to go. And that could be a 16-year-old, or it could be a 65-year-old. It could be, you know, somebody just getting out of college and trying to figure out their career. Or it could be somebody who is, you know, CEO and sold their company and trying to figure out what's next. And so MORE is an acronym. M stands for mindfulness and all that you do. So the first step to get MORE is to be mindful of where you are so you can be mindful of where you want to go. The O is optimization of body and brain. So in order to get MORE out of life, when we recognize our bodies and brains are tools to do so, we respect and value how we treat our bodies and brains MORE so we can literally time hack. You know, people always say they want MORE time. And I say, well, if you optimize your physiological state, you will time hack because you'll be more productive. You'll be laser focused. So the O is optimization of body and brain. R is MORE of the emotional intelligence component, teaching people how to be MORE responsive versus reactive, teaching people how to do mindset shifts. So when they're going down a negative path, spiraling out of control, they can shift quickly to say something to themselves like, nothing has meaning until you give it meaning. Nothing has meaning until you give it meaning. And remind themselves they're the meaning maker. So they're going down this negative path in their own meaning making. And lastly, the E is excelling in all aspects of life. And this component I teach, in order to get MORE of what you desire in life, approach success as a holistic sense of fulfillment. Not just success in professional achievement or dollars in your bank account or titles, but holistically successful in all your relationships and in your well-being, in your own personal evolution. And if you nurture all four core quadrants of your life on a regular basis, when something comes up that is out of your control, the wheel isn't going to fall off the bus as easily. And if it does, the other three wheels are at least strong enough to take that time to put that wheel back on. Unfortunately, most people only focus on like one wheel at a time, and then all three start to fall off. And it's a lot harder to pull it back together when that happens. So I really firmly believe in holistic success is what brings fulfillment.
And with that, I think getting back, and I know, Amanda, you're ready to talk as well. That's also how you build this tribe, the influence. And it just comes naturally from having all these things in alignment. And I'll definitely be picking up your book. I think that people forget that, you know, influencers out there, there is this mindset, there is this infrastructure that you need in your body and your mind. And it sounds like your book is just the perfect framework for that.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was something that I birthed into the world and was incredibly proud of.
Yeah. I got a jeopardy because this book, and at first I was like, oh, it's like a, you know, a self-discovery help book. And I, as you probably gather, like steer far away. It doesn't jive with me. And I started reading it just because it's your book. And first of all, I felt like it was so addictive. And I think you've probably seen that over and over again that I didn't even intend, to be honest, to read the whole thing. I was like, no, I'm going to get the gist of it and then I'll get it. But first of all, from the personal story and the authenticity, but what you managed to do, which I haven't seen done in this way before, and it kind of a clued in, is the way that athletes, and because you mentioned this before earlier, the way that athletes at a certain level are trained in mindset, like already they have that mindset, but then you get to a certain level and you actually go through brain training.
Yeah.
And why is it? Because I know I've never been able to put into words like what you did, but it manifests in everything in your life. And the book is kind of like if that kind of training you went through, but like for life. Instead of like for a sport. And so it was able to do that. So it comes with everything from like, you have a declaration of like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is exactly what I'm going to do. And here's how to do it. So, I mean, this was one of the best books and I've recommended it multiple times.
Thank you.
And I was just telling Jen before we get on the call, I was like, and then I binged to listen to your podcast. And every time I do, I remember why I love you so much, not just because you're a wonderful friend and so much fun, but like you're this like force of a force of like strength.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I just want to give that strength to other people.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jen. You know, obviously people can find out more about you and you know, by picking up your book, but any other website or any other information you'd like to provide the listener?
Yeah, just my name, Jen Groover, like groovy with an R. And I'm super active on all social media. So definitely connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and LinkedIn.
And she will respond.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently so. We'll put those links in the show notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I had a blast. It was great working with you guys on this.
You too.
It was so awesome getting to know you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Bye. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.